Well, good morning. There's a little snippet in this wonderful letter that Paul writes about Philemon. And there's this little piece that he says. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful, both to you and to me. I am sending him, that is, my own heart, back to you. Earlier in the week, as I sat down to kind of get ready for this weekend, I ran across an article that was by a neuropsychologist about how we think about other people. And what the article was about was how sometimes we can distance ourselves, or we can see another person as completely outside of ourselves, or we can make no empathy or sympathy or connection whatsoever. And that really most of the world that we see is that way. You know, it's kind of like when we watch the news, or if you look at a funny video or ridiculous pictures of people doing silly things, and you don't have compassion necessarily or relate to them in the same way. It's the thing that can lead us down to be able to make fun of another person, to harm another person, to be all kinds of different things towards those people. And often we would refer to the people that might fit in that category as they. You ever heard yourself saying that? Well, I don't know who did it, but they should think about that again. Boy, they really don't know what they're doing. You can kind of hear yourself if you really listen to your own speech. And on the other hand, what they found was there was a point at which a person crosses over. Someone becomes more familiar to you. And when that happens, your brain changes. You absorb them into yourself. They become a person that you can show empathy towards, compassion. You relate to them. You might imagine how they feel, and more they become a part of the makeup of who you are and how your mind kind of works. It becomes a we. I saw that little snippet from Paul in the writing today, and I kept thinking, once this person was useless to me, but now I'm sending to you, a piece of my own heart. There's something to listen to in that scripture. In the gospel for today, Jesus gives three sayings about what it means to be a disciple. He says, whenever someone comes to me and does not hate father and mother and wife and child, brother and sister, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions. These three sayings about letting go of our attachments begin a series of descriptions of the kingdom. So in the next few weeks, as we continue in this gospel, we'll begin to hear those sayings, and you'll remember many of them. You know, if you are salt and you've lost your flavor, how can you, you know, be a disciple? If the kingdom is like this, the kingdom is like this, and all kinds of descriptions. And I think what Jesus is getting at there, often when we hear this, we think we have to give up our stuff, right? And I don't think that we'd really agree that Jesus wants us to give up our family. That's not really the point of the scripture. What he's saying is, what are those things that hold you back? What are those things that keep you in limiting who you see around you as being part of the kingdom? Sometimes it might be the deep relationships we have that might not allow room for us to encounter another person. Sometimes it might be our own sense of ego and importance that might limit who we can do. And so taking up a cross or taking up Christ's purpose in the world, that might limit us from doing that. We might possess many things in our life, and in turn they possess us. And I think in some ways Jesus is getting at this sort of we and they part of it. He's trying to get people to understand that God's kingdom dwells within all of us. So if you continue the description of the kingdom, we begin to find Jesus saying, if you can be my disciple and you have more than you need to eat, share it with those who have none. If you have an extra shirt, more than you need, share it with another. If you encounter a leper or those who are cast out, see them as yourself and do not be afraid to reach out. Jesus is trying to break down our own convictions, our own sense of casting those out who are different than us, or that we may not see as a we, but rather a they. In the reading from Deuteronomy, it sort of hints at the beginning of the scripture in Genesis. If you remember that scripture, there's a story early on in the human family. Adam and Eve are born, and they have two children, Cain and Abel. And do you remember what happens with Cain and Abel? That there is jealousy, because one works harder than the other, one is honored more than the other, and eventually it ends in violence. It's an interesting thing that one of the questions that I get more often than other about trying to understand God and understand the world is, why does violence happen? Why is there war? Why do people turn against each other? And I'm sure if you've been paying attention to the news or listening, you know of the challenge that our country faces with the difficulties in Syria. If you were paying attention on Saturday or Friday, you might have heard of the shooting that was down in Gardner that shut the interstate down on both sides. If you were caught in traffic, you certainly knew about it. And if we turn on the news any day, we hear of violence and human division over and over again. It's disheartening. And it's a question that always is right before us. Why? Why is there violence? And sometimes I think that we forget the stories that we hear in Scripture that help us to understand these things. And that story of Cain and Abel is at that foundational moment to say that there's something in us that can make another person less than a person, that can allow us to enact violence on them. In my time, I think no one would really see a violent act as being anything other than evil. And the people that I've known who fought in different wars, members of my family, people here and others, would say that within the context of war, an evil resides. And it's such a challenge for us to know what to do, what to say, how to understand it. And I keep coming back to what Jesus says to us about loving our neighbor. And at the same time this week, when I found that little interesting article about the way we think, I encountered another article that some of you might have seen about some nuns in Syria. Did you hear about this? There's a group of nuns who have a convent, and they've not been there for too long, but they went there a few years ago trying to establish an anchor of Christianity within that country. And the nuns live there in poverty, and they're caring for others around them through food and shelter and education and caring. And they wrote a letter to the rest of the world about sort of what's happening. And I kept hearing in the letter, and I kept thinking of our own community and the communities around us, and there they are in that place at this time, loving, risking, and being disciples. They're loving by inviting those who are in harm's way into their place. They're reaching out in all the ways they can. They have a small effort, but yet there's love right there in that moment. So what if in our life we're called to love where we are? Having been in Israel last year, I stood in the Golan Heights, which is up in a hill, and it's was part of Syria at one point, and you can stand, and you're right by the border. The border is just literally right there. And they have big signs up that warn you that it's a minefield. And you stand on this high hill, and you can look over, and I remember being there, and I don't know if some of the others that were with us at the time thought this, but the violence had kind of started then, and I kept thinking, you know, we could be a target. We're standing up here on this hill. And so sometimes I wonder, and I think of that same place, and I wonder what people stand there now and might see. But then I look into our own community. I stand in those places, and there is violence here. There is division. There are lots of they's and maybe not so many we's. And so maybe the challenge for us in the midst of this is to be willing to love as Christ asks us to love in the communities where we reside, where we find ourselves in this moment. So this week, you'll go to your neighborhood, to your work, to your school, to your bank, to your post office, to the gas station, to wherever it is that you go, and you have the opportunity to be a disciple, to show love where you are. And man, can it be difficult at times. Because sometimes we have to cross over to see something that might have been a they and allow it to become a we when we do that. It might mean supporting women in a shelter where they are sheltered from domestic violence. It might mean being present in a homeless shelter. It might mean supporting a ministry that you find. It might mean reaching out to that student that's sitting next to you that just doesn't fit in. It might mean caring for that coworker who has no one else to care for. It might mean risking being a disciple in the moment and in the place where you are. I think that's part of the challenge of the gospel that we hear for today. It's part of what Christ begs us to love others. So this week, as you go about your week, maybe you would say a prayer and say, can I be a disciple today? Can I love someone the way that God would want me to love today? And you might be surprised what happens and who you encounter and who you see. So can you be a disciple? Because in the end, love wins. Love always wins. Love wins. Amen.